And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, talking about prophecy, we're going to really go into it today. You know, oh my. You know, Ezekiel chapter 8 is a fabulous chapter in which Ezekiel is told by the Spirit of God to go dig in the walls. He goes and digs in the walls and, oh, he sees some amazing, he digs a hole in it. Can you imagine? Those were almost rock. Those walls were made of, you know, heavy material, and he just dug and dug and dug and God said, look in and see what you see. And oh my goodness, he saw things. Well, today we're going to dig in the wall a little bit. We're going to see some things. First of all, I want to bring to your attention Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 2, 25 and 26. I think these In these days, many people have asked me, when is Jesus coming? Isn't the Antichrist going to come first? Is it the rapture going to occur? Or will we have to suffer through the tribulation period? And a lot of people are really worried about this. And, you know, a gentleman, you know, came to see me not too long ago, and he said, Tex, if we don't get raptured out of here first, if the Antichrist comes and brings terrible tragedy to the planet Earth, and we're still here, I will lose my faith in God. Oh my goodness. I said, no, don't do that, brother. No, don't lose your faith. He said, well, the Bible says clearly we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. It's going to be pre-tribulation. Well, I said to him, now you might be reading the Bible wrong. What if you're mistaken? You know, oh no, I'm not mistaken. He was so sure of himself, you see. Oh, please turn, if you could, to Revelation chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Now, the Spirit is talking to the seven church ages here, the seven churches. And this church is at Thyatira. And he tells the people there, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. Now, I don't know when that church is or where it's at exactly. I think all of these churches, he's really applying this lesson to all of us, because each of us is somehow within this church, within this church age. They're all occurring right now. So these are warnings to all of us right now today. Whatever you have, whatever you hold, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, hold fast till he comes. Oh, I should have grabbed this man by the shirt and said, hold on, hold on just a minute till Jesus comes. Don't give up so easily, because hold a little bit of possibility there that maybe you got the wrong thinking, believe that Jesus will do what he says. Verse 26 is very fascinating. It says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Did you hear that, folks? Well, that's incredible. If you overcome who? Well, the devil, the Satan. If you're an overcomer, it doesn't mean you may get battered around, beaten a little bit. I think we all are, in one extent or another. Look at the world around us. The world is crazy. The world has gone insane. And Christians everywhere are under attack. And we think we've got it so tough in America. They're fighting us on, you know, putting transgenders in bathrooms so they can be there to molest little girls and boys. And, oh, just horrible things that our president is pushing down on us. And they're forcing us to bake cakes or to serve people that are homosexual, and just terrible things they're making us do. But listen to me, my friend. Hold on. Hold on. You're an overcomer. These things aren't going to kill you. They will kill the one making you do them. I promise you that. But think of those Christians right now today. Over in Armenia. Over in Iraq. In Syria. In the Middle East. Being butchered by the Islamic radicals. Think about them. I mean, many of them are dying for their faith. They're being killed. Their wives are being raped. Their children are being raped and tortured. The pastors, their churches are burned down. These terrible things have not yet happened in America. Oh, they probably will. Oh, yes, they will. They will. It will get to that with things getting worse and worse. Paul said it would happen. Things will grow worse and worse with men deceiving and being deceived. Until, he said, the end comes. But we haven't got that far yet. We're fortunate. We still have some liberties. We still have some hope in the world, but maybe we shouldn't trust in the world at all. Hold fast to what you have until he comes. Don't give it up. I mean, I know men now that are in churches and pastors that are compromising as fast as they can. I mean, in the United States, probably the two most famous pastors are Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church. He's called America's pastor out in California. But then there's the smiley boy, Joel Osteen in Houston. But what do they have to say? Are they standing up for our Christian duties? Are they saying, wait just a minute, we're not going to have little girls and boys go in bathrooms with grown men that are perverts? We're not going to do all that. We're not going to marry men to men and women to women. We're not going to have same-sex marriage. We will not do these things. They're against God's laws. No, they're just going along. Well, you know, let the government do whatever it wants. You know what? We're going to be so happy, and God's going to reward us so much. He's going to give us new cars and new houses and fur coats and oh, we're going to be so prosperous. God wants us to be rich and wise. Oh, meanwhile, people are being slaughtered around the world. They're not talking about all those Christians being murdered overseas. I mean, you go to Tel Aviv and you go to the old city in Jerusalem, carry a Bible in your hand and watch out. The old Jews there will spit on you. They'll spit on you. But Joel Osteen and Rick Warren have nothing to say about that. No, nothing to say about that. I've written an entire book called Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. They're nuts. We could talk for 5 or 6 hours straight on just the things that I record in my book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. They're not overcomers. These pastors and churches like it just the way it is. And their paychecks are going to get bigger and bigger. And guess what? It's all tax exempt anyway. You give a $100 gift to that church and it's going to, you know, you're going to be rewarded because it's going to be tax exempt. But you give $100 to Power of Prophecy, we're not tax exempt. We told the government you can take your tax exempt and give it to the Muslims. Give it to Satan's church. Because that's what it's going to be. No, we're not tax exempt at Power of Prophecy. Because they tell us what we can preach if you're tax exempt. They tell us what Bible we can use. They tell us we have to go in with the Pope and go all, you know, who says, who am I to judge a homosexual? Who are you? You're supposed to be the Pope, the leader of all the world's Christians, but of course you're not. You never were. It's a hoax. You're not an overcomer. You go right along with them. You don't keep God's works until the end. You already quit doing them. Oh, I know you do some humanitarian things. It looks good. Just like the Masons have their burn center, the shrine, and they have their big fancy Muslim caps, and they help little kids at their burn centers. Good for them. And then they go in and they worship basically Satan in their lodges. But think about this. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. I tell you, my friends, if you want to know who's going to end up leading the new world order, and there's going to be a new world order, a great new world order, one from God, not these globalists, not these men, not from Satan. Satan already offered Jesus the world. Talk about a new world order. He took him up and said, look at all the world. I'll give you all of this if you'll just worship me. That would have been so easy. Jesus, yes, absolutely. That's what I want. He could have said that. But he told the devil, don't try to tempt me. Don't try to tempt the Lord thy God. Basically, he said, get out of here. You're wasting your time. What if we, as Christian pastors throughout this United States, had told the devil, same-sex marriages, you're wasting our time. Get out of here. We're not going to perform them. We're not going to be witnesses to them. There will be no same-sex marriages in America. Not unless God said so, and he's not going to say so, because he made it very clear in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's Adam and Eve, and as you know, the old saying, there's not Adam and Steve. So if you overcome, if you keep God's works unto the end, he will give you power over the nations. You're going to end. We're going to end up. It's all going to be ours. This is our inheritance. Do you know that, my friends? This is your inheritance. Well, God's got an inheritance for you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. This is the whole thing. People tell me, well, Jews are God's chosen people. I want to tell you about you being God's chosen people. You're one of them. If you know Jesus Christ, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, I don't care what you are. If you are a Jew, that's fine. We accept you if you know Jesus Christ. And you're going to make history, my friends. Someday you say, you mean you knew about me before I was ever born, Lord? You chose me before the world began, before there was even an earth and these stars in the sky? You chose me? Little old me? Wow. In fact, verse 28 here of Revelation says that he will give you the morning star. Well, who is the morning star? That's Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to get. Well, in the 1970s, you know, I remember the 1970s, just before I started this ministry, before I began Bible Home Church and Power of Prophecy, the pre-trib, that's what they call it, the pre-trib rapture theory was all the vogue. It still is, I suppose, in most churches. It's really big in evangelical churches. I don't think the Episcopals and the Methodists and Presbyterians know much about it. But if you're a Baptist, if you're a Pentecostal, if you're one of those churches, why, you've got to believe it. That's, I mean, hey, you're not even a Christian if you don't believe in pre-trib. Now, you know, Juan and I began our ministry, I think it was in 1986. And right away, I started, I had a book that was a number one best-selling book called Dark Secrets of the New Age. And I began getting phone calls and letters from all over America. And pastors would invite me to come to their churches. But they would say, now, you have to be a pre-tribber or you can't come to our church. Well, my book didn't talk about pre-trib. Now, I understand there's other theories out there. One's called mid-trib. And another's called post-trib. And then, of course, there's the preterist. Now, don't want to talk about any of these things. Because you can't find these words in the Bible. They don't have them in the Bible. They're not there. Apparently, God didn't care enough about them to put them in the Bible. I mean, if you're going to index and look at it and see, well, let me find out where it says pre-trib. Let me find out about mid-trib. Let me find out about a post-trib. You're wasting your time. They won't be there. But I was told, are you pre-trib? Most people are pre-trib, you see. And you know, and I'm sort of a Baptist Pentecostal type of guy. I just believe in Jesus Christ. So the Baptists sort of accept me and the Pentecostals sort of accept me, I suppose. I haven't joined any of them because I just joined the Church of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're with Christian Missionary Alliance or the Lutheran Church. Or you're with some other. You might even be a Catholic, but you don't agree with the Pope and everything is going on. Oh, well, okay. Good, good. You're headed the right way. Jump on my bandwagon. I have a lot of folks out there that are Catholic that are all kinds. And we're, you know, keep studying the Bible and God will take you step by step, principle by principle. He'll take you item by item and you'll learn. You'll know what's what with God. I'm still learning, my friends. I haven't, by the no way have I perfected my knowledge. And I thank God. And every day when I read the Bible, I'm shocked at certain things that I read. I mean, for this talk today, I've learned so much. But I thought I already knew these things. I'd read them in the Bible before, but then I read them there. It's the Holy Spirit is instructing me some more. I guess before I wasn't strong enough to take what was, you know, there, but God says, okay, now you're ready. We're going to take you up the next. Well, thank you, Lord. I guess my brain's just not big enough. Maybe yours is, friend, and you know everything instantly. And I'll tell you something, that is the astonishing thing. The instant you come to know Jesus Christ, it seems you get so much smarter. I've seen people that were smokers and drinkers and dopers, and they believed in abortion and all kinds of, and you know, they just suddenly changed overnight. Instantaneously. They were so much smarter, knew so much, just because they knew Jesus Christ. Well, they said to me, are you pre-trib? And, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what those categories were. And I didn't know you'd be discriminated against. Why, you'd be excommunicated and kicked out of the church if you were not pre-trib. Most of people who were not pre-trib, they were shunned by the prophecy experts. Or supposed experts. Now, let's just take some of those experts, like Hal Lindsey, Pat Robertson, Jimmy Swaggart, John Woolvoord. And, of course, there's Tim LaHaye of Left Behind book and TV movie fame. These are the experts. They're all pre-tribbers, of course. And most of these experts, it turns out, were bogus. They were. They're bogus. Hal Lindsey's books were not even written by him. They were ghost written by an unknown woman. Well, I know her now. Her name is C.C. Carlson. Yeah. Lindsey himself is an uneducated. I don't mind that. I have a lot of friends that are uneducated. He's an uneducated tugboat captain. Now, what's a tugboat captain doing writing a book called The Late Great Planet Earth that's celebrated everywhere as the pre-trib truth? Well, it seems like he went to a seminar where another pastor named R.B. Thieme talked about pre-trib and Bible prophecy, and Hal Lindsey went to his seminars and took notes. And then he went out and got a ghostwriter named C.C. Carlson. Carla Carlson is her name. And she wrote this book with Hal Lindsey's, you know, help. She wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. It seems that R.B. Thieme was very angered about it and sued. He sued. You know, that's my book. I should get credit for it because he wrote it from my notes. Hal Lindsey did a book some years ago and I was reading it. And I got to chapter, I don't know, 10 or 11, and the words sure seemed familiar. They should have been familiar. They were Tex Morris's words. They came from one of my books. He used my words, wrote a whole chapter using my book. Now, folks, I don't mind. You can use any chapter you want. Just let me know and give me some credit. Don't just write it and say, I wrote this. Oh. In any case, all these other people, they use ghostwriters. I mean, it turns out that Tim LaHaye, the most famous of all, I mean, he's more famous than Hal Lindsey. He wrote Left Behind, and that book, boy, that just, I mean, how many copies of that sold? 10 or 20 million? Left Behind? Come to find out, Tim LaHaye, his books also were ghostwritten by another man, ghostwritten. You know what a ghost is, my friends? That's a spirit. But these were written by other men. And Tim LaHaye's been taking money. He accepted, I think, about $1 million. Whatever. It doesn't matter what the amount is. From under the table from Mooney cult leader, Reverend Sun Myung Moon. And Jimmy Swaggart? Well, Oh, we've all heard too much about the Bayou Boy. I don't think I'm going to talk about him today. But all this pre-trip began with all these people, these, you know, ghost writers and all that, and stealers of other people's ideas. But really, pre-trip can go all the way back to the late 1800s when a man, a Kansas man, a swindler, a criminal, a crook named Cyrus Scofield put out the Scofield Bible. It turns out that Cyrus Scofield is a crook, a scam man. He fled the state of Kansas. Too many lawsuits and people chasing him, including the wife that he abandoned and his kids. But he went to New York City. And there he met up with rich Jews, influential Jews. And he joined a special little club. You know, one of these men's only clubs. I mean, you got to have more money than the typical working man does all year just to become a member of it. Well, he had a lot of money. All these people had cheated on land and everything back in Kansas, and he joined the club, joined the Lotus Club. And he put out a Bible. They wanted him to put out a Bible. He put out a Bible, and it was published, believe it or not. His Jewish friends sent it to their pals over in Oxford, England, and they put it out as from Oxford Press, a very distinguished press. And so this criminal, Cyrus Scofield, has a Bible. He has all the commentary in it. It's not just the Bible, it's his commentary. And in his commentary, he tells what he thought would happen with Bible prophecy. He turned out to be a pre-tribber. Not many people were back then, folks. In fact, prior to the 1900s, almost no one was pre-trib. But now today, they say, oh, if you're not pre-trib, you're nothing. Why? We don't even want you in our church if you're not pre-trib. But in the 1800s, nobody was pre-trib. Now, Scofield brought the good news that no one, no Christian would suffer from bad times. You wouldn't suffer the pain from the Antichrist's horrible acts. No, you're going to be raptured out of here before the bad times begin. That's your privilege as a Christian. And after you're raptured out, then God's going to give this whole world to the Jews. Now think about it. They wanted a kingdom. They wanted to be kings of earth. They wanted to be royal blood. But God said, no. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So the Jews had him crucified, of course. They crucified our Lord and Savior. But now Scofield has told us in his Bible that's accepted by all the Baptists, all the Pentecostals throughout the world. All of these millions of Christians say, oh yes, Scofield was a great man. He told us we won't suffer. We'll be raptured out. And not only that, but the Jews will then be given their kingdom. And Jerusalem will be built again as a great city, and they'll rebuild the temple. And oh, the Jews will be masters of all. Huh? But Jesus says in the book of Matthew, he said, the kingdom is taken from you. He told the Jews, the kingdom is taken from you because of your wickedness, because of your failure to recognize and to act on the words, the good news that I bring you. You have rejected me, and I reject you. That's basically what Christ told the Jews. But these Christians say, no, that Christ is wrong. He's wrong. Oh, no. Christ said, I'm going to leave you desolate. The house of Israel is left desolate. And see your great, great temple built by Herod here? I'm going to tear it down. It's going to be torn down, stone after stone. He didn't have to do it personally, of course. He had the Roman general Titus. One stone won't be left on top of another. You're going to be destroyed. But Christians, they say, oh, no, that's not true. Jesus was wrong. We're going to put every stone back on top of one another. We're going to rebuild the temple. I will send my money. Oh, yes, my money to the Temple Mount Foundation. I'll send my money to the Jews and to Netanyahu. They want to rebuild the temple and put Jerusalem back as the holy city. And, oh, that's what I want, too. I want the Jews to be supreme, and they're God's chosen people. They will always be God's chosen people. That's part of the pre-trib rapture.
Really?
That's the kind of baggage that the pre-trib rapture, this pre-trib theory, brought along is baggage. It's baggage. Have you ever gone on a trip and you go to pick up the baggage, your wife's got it packed so tight and so much in the piece of luggage, you can't even drag it out to your car. You say, sweetheart, we're going to have a lovely weekend trip, but look at all the baggage you're taking. That's what they're saying. If you believe in the pre-trib theory, you got to bring in all this baggage. This Jewish baggage, the Zionist concoction. That Christians who bless Israel by giving them carnal things are themselves blessed with carnal things. Do you think that's true, friend? If you bless the Jews by giving them money and material things, God will bless you with money and material things. If that's what you think, you are in the wrong house. You're not in the house of God. How can Christians think that? Let me tell you something, friend. You want to bless anyone. You want to bless anyone who doesn't have Jesus. That's your first concern. Preach to them Jesus. Oh, I agree. Take care of their earthly things. They need food and they need clothing and housing. And all. I recognize all those things. But don't forget Jesus. And these Christians today, they don't even preach Jesus to Israel. Billy Graham told Golda Meir, the prime minister, he said, you've already got your law. You don't need me to come and do a crusade. Did you know that Billy Graham never did a crusade in Israel? Why, they already had their God. His name, of course, wasn't Jesus. They had rejected Jesus. But he said, that's okay. You've got your law. Oh, really? And millions of Christians believe that Billy Graham, he's better than the Pope. He's great. Wow. Many Christians tell me, if you bless the Jews, God will bless you. And then they turn around and say, but of course, I would never preach to the Jews. They have their own Talmud. They have their Kabbalah. They have their holy books. They don't need Jesus. That's what Pastor John Hagee said. He wrote a whole book. Jesus is not the Messiah of the Jews. They don't need Jesus. This Pope, Pope Francis says, don't preach to the Jews. They don't need Jesus. Oh, that's wicked. John Hagee is wicked. This Pope is wicked. They need Jesus. What they don't need is more money, more beaches out of Tel Aviv, more military armaments so they can batter the Palestinians. They don't need land, property. They don't need a capital. They don't need a temple. All they need is Jesus. That the temple is filthy dirt. Because the Bible says God won't go into that temple. He needs no temple built with human hands, it says in the Bible. These Christians of today have went along. They've gone along with the works of the faith movement. Oh, it's attractive. The faith movement. The word of faith movement. Give to get. It's otherwise known as the prosperity gospel. And you can give to Israel to get too. We're going to talk more about this when we return in just a minute. The pre-trib theory. Pre-trib rapture. Can't find it in the Bible. I've looked. Please help me. If you know where it's at, please let me know. Now, don't write me pages and pages. Just tell me the one place in the Bible I can go to and find that, would you? I'd appreciate it, friends. Meanwhile, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back after this brief message. It's the most colossal devil religion ever. Have you studied religions today? Oh, there's so many religions. There's hundreds of religions, but of course there are those that are the largest, the biggest that have grasped the minds and hearts of so many people. The Hindus, of course, in the hundreds of millions. There's, of course, the teachings of Confucius in China. There's the Buddhist. Millions have gone that way. Of course, there's Christianity, but then there's many brands of Christianity. But the one religion that is the most devilish of all, it's not the Muslims. Oh, the Muslims have their mosque. But the Bible doesn't warn of the Islamic mosque. It warns of the synagogue of Satan. And I have written a new book. This book is so powerful. I don't know if I may be visiting Jesus for long. I'm sure that the Jews, their rabbis, their secret rabbis will be so angry at me when they see this book. It's just come off the press, and I want you to have one of the first copies. It's entitled The Holy Serpent of the Jews. The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Why? Isn't it just the religion of the Old Testament? Don't they have everything but Jesus there? Isn't it a nice, holy, pious religion? No, it's not. In fact, this book reveals the rabbis' secret plan. A plan given them by Satan for them, the rabbis, to crush their enemies. That's Christianity. To crush their enemies, and they believe they will be vaulted to the throne of global dominion. Ah, it's so ambitious. It's so secretive. It's so powerfully dangerous. Holy Serpent of the Jews. I'm looking at this book now, and the cover is striking. A blue star, the six-pointed star that has the secret code 666. And there's artwork on the front with that star. There's the great serpent. But coming out of its mouth, strangely, is a young man. Coming out of the mouth of the serpent is a young man. Where's he been? Is this the Antichrist? Coming out of the mouth of the beast? Because you see, the serpent is in fact a beast. And Revelation 9 talks about the beast that rises up out of the abyss. The beast called Abaddon. Well, no religion would worship the beast, who is the serpent, Abaddon. No one would worship him, would they? That would be ridiculous to think that the Jewish rabbis would worship the serpent. Why? What if they actually called him their Messiah? But they do. They do. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, Jesus accused the Jews. What if Jesus told the truth? What if he was saying something that would turn out in history to be correct? He called the Jews, you serpents, you vipers. How can you possibly escape hellfire? That's what Jesus said. How would you like to be called a serpent and a viper by Jesus? That's so horrible. Why did he say that of the Jews? And do they have a doctrine today, a doctrine that reveals them as of their father, the devil? Let me quote you one rabbi. He says, the holy serpent is the fountainhead, root, and essence of God's revelatory light. Another rabbi says, we, the Jews, have journeyed to the center of the world and ended up in the belly of the serpent. How can it be that the Jews are preaching to other Jews that we reside in the belly of the serpent? I want you to know about this is the most shocking book. I don't believe I've ever written a book like Holy Serpent of the Jews. I couldn't, because how much more hideous, how much more grotesque can you get than to imagine a religion that worships the holy serpent and the people pray to the serpent. They don't pray to our God. They say, our father is Abraham. No, Jesus said, your father is not Abraham. If you believed in Abraham, you would believe in me. Well, who is their father? It wasn't Abraham. And it certainly is not Jesus. Then their father is the same one that Jesus identified. He said, your father is the devil. The question is, did Jesus tell the truth? Maybe you doubt him, dear friend. Maybe you say, Jesus lied. They could not be serpents. They couldn't be vipers. They couldn't be of the devil. They're a good religious people. Then Jesus was a liar. But I propose to you, dear friends, that Jesus was a truth teller. That there were no lies in his personality. And he sought only the truth. And for this, they crucified him on the hill overlooking the city of Jerusalem. The name of the book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Holy Serpent of the Jews. Now we're having a special offering of this book. Jerry, he's in the studio here with me. How much is this book? We're offering it for just $20. Wow. Okay, $20. $20 for this book. Add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. Ask for the serpent book. We'll know what it is. We've just got this book in. It's an amazing book. Holy Serpent of the Jews. Please, order this book. In fact, order 10, 20, 30 copies of this book. $20 each. Help others to know about this. In fact, though they will hate you for it, give a copy to a friend who's a Jew. Tell him you care about his soul. You care about him. You want him to know the truth. And you want to expose the rabbis who have brought this secret plan to the world. You want him to know about Jesus. Holy Serpent of the Jews, $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. Here's how to get your copy. Or more than your copy, order as many as you can, please. It's just too important a book. $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. Use our website. It'll be right there in the, you'll see it right in the front section of the, it'll be right on the homepage. That's what they call it, don't they, Jerry? Jerry does the homepage too here. He's really the expert. I guess I'm just big old mouth Tex. You know, but Jerry's the authority on our website. Go there at powerofprophecy.com, order Holy Serpent of the Jews, powerofprophecy.com. You can also send us a letter or a little note and say, Tex, send me the book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. We'll get it right out to you. Boy, you'll be amazed. This cover is, striking. Ask for Holy Serpent of the Jews, total of $25. That'll include the shipping and the postage. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, you can phone us toll-free. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That's during the work week, I guess until about 5:30 or so Central Time. And anyone who answers the phone will be very friendly and take your order. And if you're not receiving our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, we'll send it to you every month. We won't even charge you 1 cent extra. We'll give you the newsletter free. How about that, folks? A free newsletter every month, exciting articles. I tell you, sometimes I get so excited about writing those articles. I just can't believe it, how exciting I can get, Jerry. I mean, it just thrills me. To let the folks know everybody listens on air. They're my friends. You know, that's what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, you know, well, sure, they worshiped him. He was God. Why wouldn't they get on their knees and lay down and prostrate? But then he said to them, I'm your friend. We're friends. Wow. everywhere I've gone in America and around the world, really, people have come up to me and said, hey, Tex, I'm one of your friends. I like that. Boy, I don't care where they're from. I don't care if they're from Holland or Germany or Tuskegee, Alabama or Michigan or somewhere. They're my friends, and I appreciate them. All right, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about why. Oh, the pre-trib rapture. The pre-trib has proven to be a colossal failure. It has. There are people still out there, pastors that are preaching it, saying if you don't believe it, why you're, I guess you're a sinner, but that's so silly. The Bible doesn't even mention it. Now, pre-trib teachers were for a time, they were able to persuade many Christians of their theories. You see, but by around 1963, these theories begin to wear a little thin. See, they said everything's going to get better and better and better, and finally we'll be raptured out of here. But what happened in 1963? Do you remember that? That was when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And suddenly, America went off in a wicked pathway. President Lyndon Johnson sent us off into a reverse spin. Soon we had the conniving crimes of Watergate. Of course, the Kissinger oil crime. Those crimes of President Richard Nixon, followed by the economic disaster of President Jimmy Carter. Think about it. The assassination of John F. Kennedy. The crimes of Lyndon Johnson and of Nixon, followed by the economic disaster and the ideas of Jimmy Carter. Then finally, more recently have come the financial and political debacles of the George Bush, both Bushes, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama era. Wow. America is about sunk. I was listening to Judge Clarence Thomas. They say he doesn't say very much. Quiet spoken man. He's one of the few conservative judges left on the Supreme Court of the United States. He said America has now become a madhouse. It has. Transgenders and homosexuals and same-sex marriages and, oh, goodness gracious. And, oh, the politicians, they lie. And the Democrats pretend to be Republicans. And Republicans, really, they're just basically Democrats. And the lying will never quit. And the murders, 50,000 died in Vietnam. In Vietnam, what for? What did we win there? Nothing. They kicked us, sent us out of their country. We came back to the United States, licking our wounds. But when the Middle East struggles began, we went right back over there again. Well, we were going to teach Saddam Hussein a lesson, weren't we? Yes, we were going to teach Saddam Hussein that he couldn't just come over here and bomb us on 9/11. He couldn't send his terrorists over and take down our building and even bomb the Pentagon. Why didn't Saddam Hussein have gall and wasn't he audacious to do that? Well, but wait just a minute. He didn't do it. He wasn't responsible at all. He was fighting the terrorist. He was against the terrorist, just like we were. What did we kill? I saw them try him on TV. Then they hung him. What are they hanging him for? He did nothing that he was accused of. It's incredible. And then Hillary went over and had Gaddafi, the head of Libya, killed. What they did, it's horrible what they did to him. Oh, my goodness. I saw the film myself. I almost vomited, almost threw up when I saw how he was murdered. Oh, goodness. He was begging for his life. Hillary was asked about it. What about the death of Gaddafi in Libya? And she said, yes, ha, ha, ha. We came, we saw, he died. Ha, 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 ha. That was her laugh. Ha, ha, ha. That's sick. That's the laugh of a psychopath. America, from the 60s on, became a horrible, moral, disordered, maniac nation. I say that, folks. I spent over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force. I saw it close at hand. I earned the Vietnam Service Medal. I've got all kind of medals. I rose from a master sergeant to officer. Then I commanded units. I saw it. We followed all these wars, and now we have the new Sodom and Gomorrah. That's us. The hippie era. The Hindu guru invasion. Followed by Monica Lewinsky. The transgenders, the triple X-rated porno and movies. We didn't get better and better, folks. No, we didn't. We've gotten worse and worse. We favored Israel. We put them in power. We have blessed Israel greatly. We defend them against the Arabs. And what do we get in return? A kick in the pants. Well, if you bless Israel, God will bless you. I think we've been blessing Israel the wrong way. We should have blessed them by giving them Jesus Christ as Lord. But no, we don't want to do that. The Pope says don't do that, so we won't. And many other Christian ministers say we cannot do that. They don't need Jesus. Oh, my goodness gracious. The moral sickness is accompanied by liars and con men at the top echelons in Washington, D.C. And there's a secular and a satanic war. Guess what secular war is against Christianity? And with America's great moral failure has come the never-ending wars and conflicts in Afghanistan, in Libya, in Iraq, and Syria. Christians falling victim to demonic Muslim attack. They've had their heads cut off with machetes. And worse atrocities. Meanwhile, our presidents and the European leaders struggle with how to bring in more immigrants, to bring in more Muslims. If when those Muslims reach the shores of America and Europe, if we would meet them with the Bible and tell them about Jesus and, yes, take care of their physical needs, how many miracles could be accomplished? But we don't do that. So they come here and they join their little cliques of terrorists and they kill others. They murder for Allah and Muhammad, who don't even exist. Everywhere in America, there's joblessness. Over 50 million people now getting food stamps. Out of 300 people, there's over 120 million who don't even work. Mass misery, mass economic worry. Still, with all of that, we have had no rapture. There's been no rapture. Why, before the bad times came, we were supposed to be raptured, weren't we? Now we see Christians by the hundreds of thousands being murdered everywhere in the Middle East and in Africa. Think of Rwanda. Rwanda. These devilish people herded. These soldiers herded hundreds and hundreds of Christians into churches. And once they were in the churches, they thought they were safe. They thought there was a safe sanctuary. Then they went in and killed them and they burnt down the church. Churches, I should say. How did that happen? Who approved that? I understand that Israel gave them the arms to do it. Why, Israel is our friend, aren't they? Why did they give the soldiers there in Rwanda all those weapons? How did that happen? It's because the devil was involved. How can the devil be in Israel? Because the Israelis rejected Jesus and they hate him today. To this very day, they hate and despise our Savior. And the devil loves it. The devil is everywhere Jesus is not. Don't you understand that, friends? Wherever Jesus is not, there you will find the devil. And wherever Jesus is, you will find the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Hell is here, and Christians are left behind. You see, Tim LaHaye said, well, before hell comes, Christians are going to be brought up. We're going to go up in the sky. We're going to be raptured. But my friends, hell has come. Read the book by Thomas Goodrich about hell coming to Germany after World War II. Thousands of Christians burnt to death, bombed to smidgens. And listen to this. Over 2.5 million Germans were taken to concentration camps, and there they were tortured and killed. Why, that can't be possible. We would have heard about that. We would know about it. We would know who did it, and we would, oh no, we would see to that. We would see the guilty paid for what they did. Oh, really? Really? What if you were lied to? What if Herbert Hoover himself wrote a memoir that's over 1,000 pages in length? Herbert Hoover, who was the president of the United States, he went over to Europe. He saw what was going on. He was aghast. He came back and said, Harry Truman, I'm going to reveal what's going on. You better straighten this out. I'm seeing hundreds of thousands of Germans being slaughtered. And it's 3 years after World War II. Oh, you've got to read it. You've got to read about the hell brought to earth in the Thomas Goodrich book. Hell is here, and now Christians are left behind. Do you get that? Hell is here, and Christians are left behind. It's not the world that's left behind. It's Christians. How did that happen? I want to read Isaiah to you. Isaiah chapter 26, 27. Chapter 26 says, O Lord, verse 13, O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. Other lords other than thee have had dominion over us. Isn't that true? Look at the Muslims today. Look at the Jews. They have other gods. Jesus should be our only God, but they have dominion over us. Verse 14 says, they are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Verse 15 says, thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Oh, you've increased America. We've got iPhones now. That makes us better persons, doesn't it? Wow. Maybe this is heaven. We got iPhones. We got television. Even big screen. But wait just a minute. It says, chastening is upon us. It says, verse 16. Verse 17, it says, like as a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. You see, as a Christian, it's the iPhone is not going to make you happy. Your new car is not going to make you happy. All these deaths of Christians, all this suffering of your fellow Christians throughout the world should make you very, very sad. You should be in pain when you see same-sex marriage and homosexual encounters and all these things glorified. It says verse 18, we have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Isn't that true, friends? You have not brought deliverance on the earth. Admit it. It's worse. And not only that, the inhabitants of the world, that's the sinners, the ones who hate us, the Satanists, they're building satanic statues in cities and putting them up in front of courthouses saying, come down and worship our Satan. You, the inhabitants of the world go to sex parties. I saw in the newspaper this week, over 20,000 lesbians went to Palm Beach to party. This year, in Tel Aviv on the beach, in Tel Aviv, Israel, they had the great gay festival. The world's greatest gay in Israel. Verse 19 says something amazing though. It says, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Oh my, what are we talking there about? We're talking about a rapture of sorts. We're talking about God's going to come for the dead bodies. It says, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Oh, it's coming. God's going to come. Just when you thought you would deliver. Just when you listen to all these jerks out there saying, oh, don't worry, we're going to deliver the earth. We're going to give the world to God as a birthday present. At the millennium. At the opening of the millennium, it will say, God, happy birthday, God, here's the earth. Didn't work out that way. But there is going to be a rapture. the dead are going to come out of their graves. It'll be after you have decided you can do nothing. When you prayed out, God, I can't do anything. Everything that I do is like wind. It's just wind. It just goes out there and disappears. But wait, don't you remember that's what God said about the Holy Ghost? It goes wherever it wants. It's like the wind. Oh, yes. He's working. He's behind the scenes. Verse 20 says, God says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and no more cover her slain. Chapter 27 verse 1 says, in that day the Lord with a sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, and Leviathan, the crooked serpent. I told you just in the halfway break today, I did a little ad for my new book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. There it is. That's Leviathan. That's the name of their holy serpent that the Jews worship. And God says in chapter 27, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Who did he pierce? Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he pierced. And Leviathan, that crooked serpent, that lying devil. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Verse 3 says, I, the Lord, will keep it. He will keep us. He'll take care of us. I told you how wicked the world is. How we haven't really accomplished anything. We've saved some people, thank God. We're the overcomers, thank God. But God knows who the Jews worship. He knows they worship the serpent. Most of them do, not all. I wish I had more time. The demons of hell are with us here. And they really began in 1948 when Israel was made a nation. And it's become one of the most wicked places on earth. Our democracy is an international laughing matter. Our economy is at new lows. Israel repaid us by stealing our atomic bomb secrets. And they still send spies everywhere in America. And they say the Bible is not true. The Bible means nothing. We have our Talmud. We have our Kabbalah. Israel is blessed. Israel is blessed by Satan. The Jews have turned to their holy serpent, Leviathan. He is their Messiah, their deliverer. So much for Christians blessing Israel. So much for us giving them material goods and land. We should have given them the only blessing they need. The only one they need. If you go to him first, and he'll take care of all those other needs. Go to him first. Well, all of America should know now the truth. The pre-trib rapture has failed. But don't think that God's not coming for his people. Read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You will see. He will come for us. He will. We can depend on it. We read in the Bible that Jesus Christ, he doesn't stay where he's not wanted. One place he knew he wasn't wanted, he departed. It says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a citizen of that city. He came into his own city. There it is. Heavenly Jerusalem. Well, it's been great being with you today, talking about the rapture. Maybe later on I'll talk about, the mid-trib and the post-trib. But today we've discussed the pre-trib rapture, a failed theory. Stick with the Bible, my friends. You can't go wrong. This is Tex Mars, encouraging you to tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.